Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Good afternoon, Tycoons, or good morning, depending on where you are. Austin and Landon here with Tycoons of Small Biz. We're here in the same room today. It's exciting. We're here in our office here in Mesa, Arizona, and excited to put this episode out there. And Landon, welcome to town.
Yeah, thank you. I was excited to get out of the heat of Las Vegas and come to Phoenix. I think it's going to be 112 in Vegas and 111 in Phoenix. So
yeah, only set to be 110 actually.
So okay.
that 2 degrees, enjoy it. Except you got to add back in the humidity that we have here, and you don't have. So
yep.
They say it's a dry heat. Don't believe them. Phoenix is not necessarily a dry heat, especially during monsoon season. So that is the reality of things. All right. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've been putting together this podcast, or putting this podcast out there, I should say, for a little over 4 years now. And we've gone through different versions. We've had guests, and now it's just kind of us for the most part. Every once in a while, we'll have a specific guest, but our intent here at Tycoons of Small Biz is to build up the entrepreneurial community or the business owner community and help them any way that they can to build their businesses, because they truly are the backbone of the American economy. So we are small business owners. We own a business together. Landon owns a business separate. I own a business separate. And we've got some other things kind of in the pipeline. And we believe that what we bring to the table from an experience standpoint can help others. And that's why we put this out. So with that being said, today, Landon, we're going to talk a little bit about building sellable value, or building your enterprise to be sold at some point, and the different kind of things that we have to put out there the different things we need to do in order to build that sellable value. So why don't you kick us off, Landon? You may have some introductory comments or whatever, but when you think about building sellable value, what comes to mind?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I apologize in advance if anyone's watching this live. I might be yawning because I've been up for 6 hours already and my flight was delayed, so wasn't enough time to go back to sleep. And so anyway, a little tired this morning, but all good. When I think about building sellable value, I mean, it really makes me think about kind of the why behind a lot of the stuff that we do as entrepreneurs. I wrote an article a couple years ago called, "It's Okay to Shut Down Your Business." And it is okay. But it's okay if you are focused on becoming financially independent outside of your business value, so that when you get to a point in your life when you can't work or you don't want to work, that you can be financially independent, whether you sell your business or not. But I don't think any of us get into the game, with that attitude of I'm just going to, grow this business and run this business for the next 5, 10, 30 years. And I'll just plan to shut it down when I'm done. So I don't think any of us set out to do that from the get-go. And so the intent of the episode today is to hopefully impart some knowledge and some experience so that we all can one day realize, harvest the value of the businesses that we're building, because, frankly, we deserve it. As entrepreneurs, we deserve to realize the value of something that we have been building for probably years or decades, and taking on significant risk, taking on lower pay than we could have taken on, you know, supporting and providing for, you know, other families, you know, the folks that you know, that work for you, creating a great environment for people to work and to thrive and to get better and learn and grow. And for that, we believe that you and that we as entrepreneurs, you know, deserve to be, you know, rewarded for that financially when that time comes and when it's appropriate, you know, for us to sell a business, to transition a business to family, you know, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that's the why behind, I think it's important for us to be having this discussion.
Yeah, I want to pull on that thread a little bit because you're absolutely right. It is okay to shut down your business, and some businesses ultimately are not going to get to a point where they are sellable, right? And that is okay, like you said, as long as you plan for your financial independence outside of the business. But the reality is we would recommend to any business owner out there that you're planning for your own financial independence completely exclusive of your business regardless. Right. One, it's just going to put you in a better position financially. You're going to feel more comfortable. You're going to feel like you have less worries and less stress in your life, you know, knowing that your financial independence is kind of assured just based on the fact that you're running a business that's successful. It's generating enough cash flow for you to be able to take money out of that business and use it for your personal needs, but then also have excess to save for and invest for the future. And so that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is, even if you're able to sell your business, if you're completely financially independent outside of your business, when it comes time to sell your business, you're not in a position to where you have to sell that business so that you can retire, for example, or that you can do the things that you want to do later in life. And so that takes the stress off of it. It takes the pressure off of having to sell it. It puts you in a better negotiating position. Mm-hmm. You're not forced to take an offer that just seems ridiculous to you, but it's all that's made, you know, at that point in time, whether it's, you know, like today where interest rates have doubled in the last couple of years compared to where they used to be. And so now multiples may be different. The affordability of taking on debt to buy a business, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it comes completely off the table because you do not need to sell that business to generate your own financial independence.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the beauty of that is that, you know, let's attach some numbers to this, you know. So, somebody's been running their business for the last, you know, 20 years and now they're 60 and they've got kids and they've got grandkids and they want to like wind things down and travel and spend time with their family, but specifically their grandkids. I mean, how often do we hear that? Very often. So in a scenario like that, let's say for that, for this business owner, this woman to be financially independent, you know, they need, I don't know, $3 million. And over the last 20 years, they have been putting money into some retirement accounts, you know, putting money into some, you know, private investments, maybe, you know, real estate deals and things of that nature. They've been, you know, putting money into a brokerage account, and all of a sudden with compounding interest, you know, they're there, right? And they've got that $3 million that they need to become financially independent because they've been working, you know, with an advisor, and they know what that number is for them. And they know that that's $3 million. And maybe they'll have, you know, a pension or Social Security or some other income, but like the pot of money that they need is $3 million. So they get to that point. So now they're 60 years old. They've got a business. Let's just say the business produces $1 million a year of profit. They don't have any kids in the business to transition it to. And so they're at the stage where they're like, okay, I don't need the money any longer. I don't need the income from the business. I don't need the profits from the business. So now, like, you're in this beautiful place, right? Because you can look to transact, to sell the business to an outside party, or because you're financially independent, you can look to place an operator in this business, you know, a high quality, you know, CEO to run the business. And so maybe, you know, let's just say there's $1 million a year of profit. and it's going to cost you, you know, $200,000 to hire a really, you know, high quality operator. So maybe it knocks the profitability of the business down. You know, maybe it's, you know, 800 grand. Well, guess what? Now you've got an asset that potentially produces $800,000 of profit for you in your, you know, golden years, because you are in a position to have optionality, to have flexibility around what you choose to do with the business. And if the right thing to do is to take the business out to market to sell it, because you want to just, you know, wash your hands of it and be done, well, guess what? You know, you still are negotiating from a position of strength, because you don't actually need the proceeds of that business to fund your lifestyle for the rest of the time that you're on this earth.
Yeah. And I would even argue, even if it cost you $500,000 or $750,000 to have an operator, and you're still spinning out $250,000 to $800,000 in free cash to you for doing nothing, that's still a pretty darn good outcome.
Yeah.
And it allows you to not have to tap into the money that you've set aside for retirement as well. So it just kind of gives you a whole lot of optionality when it comes down to that. So how do we do it? I mean, where would you start if you've got a business today? And like you said, let's use your example. That business is generating $1 million in free cash flow. It's doing well by all accounts, mm-hmm. but there are some things internally that could be better to make that value greater. So what do we do to build that sellable value?
Yeah, it makes me think of one of our clients, and I don't want to say anything or give anything away that would hint to who this person is. But it makes me think of a client of ours, and this client, they are in the construction related industry. And this client, their business is about that size, about $1 million to $1.5 million of profit, 8 to 10 million of revenue. And they come to mind because when you think about the three core pillars of a small business, right? You've got sales and marketing, you've got operations, and you've got finance. Right? Those are the three main pillars of any small business. When you sit down and actually, you know, look at those three main functions, like the first question that you need to ask yourself is like, am I the owner operator of the business? Like, am I accountable to those three main functions? And if the answer is yes, you've got some work to do. you've got a problem.
Or worse yet, you're fully wearing all three of those hats.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's an opportunity to sit down and to assess those three pillars. And if you are responsible and accountable for everything that happens in those three pillars, then probably a good opportunity to say, okay, maybe I should start thinking about hiring like my first, like real, like C-suite executive to take over one of those main functions. And that's not easy. I get it, because if you've been running your business for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe, and you've been the go-to person for essentially, you know, all three of the decision-making elements of those three pillars, giving up control is not going to be easy. But if you want to greatly enhance the sellable value of your business, it is a 100% necessity. Like, let's attach a real like example to that. So this business that we're kind of alluding to, one owner operator, accountable, responsible for the three main functions of the business, hasn't been able to effectively delegate any of those roles yet. At $1 million of profit, like, would you say it's fair to say that business would transact at probably a 3x? Probably, yeah. Just, I mean, generally.
Yeah, maybe a little bit higher just because it's above that $1 million threshold. But, you know, there's a lot of layers that dictate that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
A three multiple.
Okay, so what would say like a three multiple? So that business would sell for, again, $1 million of profit. It'd sell for about $3 million. Okay, so the same business with $1 million of profit, it's got a 2 to 3 person C-suite executive management team who are responsible for at least 2 out of those 3 main pillars. And maybe there's some, you know, lower middle management, you know, underneath them. That business, essentially the same exact business, but you've got some C-suite, you know, executives that are accountable and responsible for at least 2 of those 3 main pillars. That business might trade for 4 or 5 times.
Maybe even 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we all think that like to increase the value of a business that you got to increase sales and increase revenue and increase headcount. And sometimes that is the case. And sometimes it is absolutely not the case. Like this business is a perfect example that the sales, the team doesn't need to increase. Like, okay. Yeah. The executive team does need to be built out, but the remainder of the team, the sales, the revenue, all that is the same. You just are doing things to increase the enterprise / sellable value of your company by making some key hires.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important. It's what gets in the way of owners, right? I mean, they're unable to take that hat off. They're unable to walk away from the responsibility. Sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's just not knowing exactly how to do it. Sometimes it's this, you know, thought process, which is still ego related, where they're not going to do it as well as I can. Mm-hmm. Right. But the reality is if somebody can do something even 70% as well as you can, it should be delegated. If it's not your core competency, it should be delegated. And if you're ultimately getting your company ready to be sold, in reality, to get the highest possible multiple for your business, everything should be delegated. And you shouldn't be running any portion of the day-to-day operations of the business. You should be viewed as the visionary of the business. You're there for strategic value, meaning that you're driving the strategy of the business forward and having an overall view of where we take this thing. But outside of that, the day-to-day operations of the business, all those areas that Landon just mentioned, the sales, the marketing, the finance, and the operations, all of that should be delegated to somebody else if you're ultimately trying to get the highest value for your business.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're thinking, well, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but you know, I can't afford, you know, to hire, like, let's just say a CFO, right? Because a really high quality CFO is going to start at what, 175, 200,000 a year, and can go up to, you know, $500,000. The gig economy, you know, is a thing, and it has evolved extensively and robustly the last, 5 years, 10 years. And now you can hire really top tier talent. You get them for a fraction of the time, but you pay them a fraction of the price. So a fractional high quality CFO, you know, maybe you pay them, you know, $100,000 a year and you get, you know, 15 or 20 hours a week, or maybe a little bit less, which is probably way more than most of us need. And I'm talking any, you know, sub, you know, $20 million a year revenue business. So there's options there. And I think to dovetail into the next thing that we're going to be talking about, which is like the systems and the processes, like as you start to identify roles and responsibilities to delegate, naturally, there's going to be this progression into identifying, capturing, enhancing if they already exist, and then, you know, putting them into practice and managing them on an ongoing basis, like updated, enhanced, like systems and processes. So I think they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is if you're going to be delegating some things inside of the business, ideally you want to have some sort of processes in place, right? Now a high quality CFO or a high quality COO, fractional or not, they're going to take what you've got and they're going to augment that in a big, big way, right? And we actually, in our financial planning business, just brought on a fractional COO or director of operations who's helping take the systems and processes that we have in place and augmenting them. So, you know, we're eating our own cooking here, so to speak. And Landon and I both know that neither one of us are operational gurus, right? In the overall picture, I think we bring a lot to the table, but in the day-to-day, this is the process, this is the technology, this is that, you know, all of that, that's not our forte. And so we've brought somebody in to help us get that in place, you know, for our own business. But don't let perfection get in the way of mm-hmm. an opportunity to bring somebody else in to help augment that, right? Now, anything that you do on a day-to-day basis as an owner, so let's think about you getting very first started, right? Let's say you're a tradesman of some sort, right? And you start out and you're actually the one who's out there finding business, you're doing the estimating, you're doing the work, you're doing the invoicing, you're doing the books, you're doing everything from the get-go, right? And as time goes on, you're taking each of those hats off, right? But you need to be able to document what it is that you do, how you want it done for a particular reason, right? And so it might even just be an Excel spreadsheet. It might be a Word document. It might be something, you know, very, very simple early on, and that's okay. Again, don't let perfection get in the way of good. Document in some way, shape, or form. And then as you grow more, you bring these people in to then augment what you've already done. But you've got to have those types of things in place. And I personally believe that the first thing that you need to do when you're taking that next step to get a little bit larger and to bring other people in is make sure that your books are in order, right? So a lot of people tend to just bring in their spouse or their daughter-in-law or, you know, the neighbor or whatever, somebody who's going to care and, you know, make sure that they're honest and they're not going to steal from you and those sorts of things. But they don't necessarily have the expertise or the ability to keep your books correctly. And so I think if you're going to be making your very first hire, I would lean towards somebody who can take care of your books and make sure that, you know, all of the accounting is in order and ready for taxes and whatever. But you're also just able to track the money that's coming in and the money that's going out.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Good point. And if you're sitting here thinking like, I can't afford a bookkeeper, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. We have a phenomenal bookkeeper and we pay him about $400, $500 a month maximum, depending on what he's doing in a particular month. So hopefully every single person that's listening to this that has a small business, like, you know, hopefully we all can afford, you know, $400 or $500 a month for a great bookkeeper, because the value that they will bring will be a huge multiple off of, you know, $400 or $500 a month. But yeah, that's a great point. I think you and I have seen this, not as many times as we've seen other things, but plenty of times where a business owner wants to take their business out to sell for whatever reason. And if you do not have really clean, easy to interpret, logical books that align with your operations without, you know, big gaps and holes in it, it's essentially a deal killer. I mean, most people are not that financially savvy. And so if your books are a mess, you know, you haven't, you know, it's already, you know, July and you haven't, you know, your books are hardly current through the end of, you know, 2023, you got big problems. And it's not a big problem. It's not a hard problem to solve, but it's something that you need to figure out and solve right away. And that is by just outsourcing your books to a good bookkeeper, because it's not that expensive. And the value that that provides to you and your business is just astronomical compared to the cost, because it gives you clarity on your, you know, financial situation. It helps you to avoid big, you know, financial pitfalls. It allows you to see things that are happening in your business that you obviously haven't been, you know, looking at. So it's just like such a no-brainer to get that kind of checked off first and foremost.
Yep, agreed. Well, I think we could talk about these types of topics for a long time. We never really got to sales and marketing, so maybe we kind of hit that on another episode. But we're doing our best to try to make these real short, bite-sized things that entrepreneurs can listen to quickly. Maybe it's on just, you know, a drive in between jobs or a drive in between meetings, where you can listen to this quickly and get a couple of nuggets that hopefully help you to build a stronger business. So I think we'll leave it at there at that, unless you've got any closing comments. And we appreciate you being here.
Nope. That's all I got to say is to your success. Thanks for listening.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guests, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.